Okay, hello everyone. Welcome. Welcome to this free seminar. There are going to be a few people showing up as we begin. So yeah, my name. I get beeps when people arrive here, so yeah, it just disrupts my flow. So yeah, my name is Peter Gill. I'm a focusing teacher. If you don't know about focusing, that's fine. I'll explain some of that, and it hopefully will become clear as we go along. I like to start everything I do with just a little bit of pausing, in a way, a focusing moment, just resting into how we are right now, a bit of arriving in the present moment before we start engaging with the topic and each other. So yeah, I'll lead us in that process. So just all you need to do is sit back and take in the instructions, or just do your own thing for 2 or 3 minutes. I don't mind. But either way, it's a kind of moment of pausing and resting and arriving. Just going to mute everyone on the call. Yeah, so off we go. So yeah, you can have your eyes open or eyes closed. The main thing is just beginning to bring your awareness kind of towards yourself. Or open, you can say open your awareness just to include yourself. Maybe you're aware of all the lots of other things around you, but here you are in all of that. So you might just sense your body and how it's supported. That's a very simple way to begin. Feeling the wherever your body's supported, behind you, beneath you. And then from there, maybe just sensing the rest of your shape and posture, edges of your body, your clothes, skin. In this way, getting a sense of your whole body as it is, as it is in the room you're in. And notice just for a moment, how it is to be here inside. How it is to you right now. Maybe it feels all okay inside right now. But maybe there's other things going on. Maybe you're carrying some or holding some worry or concern or just some issue in your life. Discomfort or whatever's there, be just acknowledging. It doesn't have to be a certain way. Just there's an invitation to notice how it is and acknowledge. And even if you do find yourself wanting to feel something different, let that be there too. Let that be there. That's part of who you are right now too. So just take another half a minute just to quietly acknowledge, say hello to yourself. And then gently bringing that to a close. If your eyes have been closed, opening and looking around, or so yeah, hello again. So our theme today is finding freedom from tangles, and I'll be looking at what is a tangle, what I mean by that word. I'll look at the kind of origins of that sort of process, which I think can help us to understand it, and a bit about a little bit about how we begin, how we can begin to disentangle from those processes. And I want to start by saying that this is one application of focusing. Focusing as a practice has many different applications, ways you can use it. You could use it to explore dreams or decisions or creativity. But one thing it's very good for, I found, is what is exploring and more than exploring, disentangling parts of our lives that are very tangled, complex. And this approach really comes through my focusing teachers, Anne Wiser Cornell and Barbara McGavin. So you may have come across their body of work called Untangling. So I've been following them and learning from them for over a decade now, and so I'm sharing really what they've taught me, and plus my own take on it as well. So what is a tangle? A tangle is a part of your life that's either repetitive or stuck. Maybe those are almost like the two definitions of kind of tangles we can have. Something in our life that doesn't move forward. I've got an image of a tangle for those of you who got your videos. This is a tangle. Okay. So maybe some parts of your life feel like this. Lots of It's just impossibly difficult to navigate. Maybe it's some relationship with a family member or an addictive pattern or some repetitive situation that goes round and round. And no matter what thread you pull, it just makes it worse. So that's a, I mean, yeah, addictive patterns are a very good example of that. Or maybe your tangle is more like this. This is a stone, in case you can't see. It's got eyes. But like, oh, ran out of my hand. It's like it's blocked. It's like nothing's happening. It's a block. It's blocked. It's just like a big nothingness. Nothing's happening. You really want something to happen. You want to be more creative. You want to find a partner. You want to tidy your office up. You know, and it's just not happening. This never happens. Those are two examples of kinds of tangles, situations that don't change no matter what we throw at them, no matter what we think about them. Does that make sense so far? Yeah. And they're hard, you know, they are really difficult situations to deal with. So I want to say a little bit about how, in a way, something, I hope it will help, but something about the origin of tangles, like how these parts of our lives form. So I kind of want to bring in a bit of theory, and then we'll have a whole open for questions around that. So a tangle begins with a stoppage. Some kind of what this is what Gendlin, Eugene Gendlin, who's a developer of focusing, called it a stoppage. Some forward flowing process gets blocked. And sometimes, you know, those kinds of situations do resolve themselves. You know, we as human beings are incredibly resourceful. We have resourceful people around us, and we can meet a sort of something, a difficult situation, some kind of traumatic situation, or and it doesn't necessarily get blocked, doesn't get stuck. It can flow, it moves through us. Maybe it's like a loss or something. An example might be a loss, and then you're able to grieve, and you know, life may not be the same, but there's no feeling of something left over. But sometimes what happens is that does it flows and it doesn't find a way forward, like a river, like I have an image of a river flowing, and it meets a kind of obstruction, and sometimes it works its way around it, but sometimes it can't, and it kind of something else happens. Well, what Gendlin would call a stoppage, and something gets stuck or frozen or repetitive in that place. It just doesn't move. So this stoppage gives rise to what we could call, what Anwar's Cornell called a small one, or some, and that doesn't really describe it, but it's kind of like the source of the difficulty in any tangle. In the middle of this tangle, the source, if you like, is something that's got blocked, some piece of our life that should have flowed that didn't. Often that is in childhood, you know, that's why they call it a small one. But it's not always like that. It could be different. But it's something that should have flowed that can't. I just want to pause there and just does that is that is it or is it making sense so far, this idea? So the stuck or frozen place, because it's so painful to have it, something else happens. The next piece of the kind of tangle comes into being. If in a way, if let's say if that pain can't be met, if that stoppage can't be really sort of, yeah, let's say met, then something else comes. Another part of us or another part of the system comes to protect the organism from that difficulty. Some kind of, well, I call them safety guardians. The safety guardian is a part of us that protects us from pain, or protects other people from that. It's kind of multifaceted, really. So yeah, something it kind of, and that part's job is to soothe or to protect or to manage that unbearable feeling of that stoppage. So we could call that, I think in Anne's model they call that defenders. I call it a safety guardian. You can call it protection. Is anyone here familiar with internal family systems? So yeah, I think that they're called firefighters in the in that model. The kind of very immediate responsiveness to pain. Like let's protect it. Let's not feel it. Let's not have it there. And it does its thing to soothe and manage. That's why I look at it. Like it's this part's job is to soothe and manage that unbearable pain. Isn't it? I think it's quite amazing we have this. You know, I'm celebrating this kind of part of us that does this because it's yeah, it's trying to manage something that's very painful. So it's and at the same time, it doesn't really resolve the process. Here's the interesting thing: those parts of us that try and protect us from pain doesn't really unblock the river, does it? It might help us get through. It might soothe some of that pain, but the blockage is still there. It's not really been that part of our life hasn't really been met and heard. It's just the next layer up trying to manage it and resolve it and soothe it. So this is, you know, typically, let's say this would be, you know, why we might numb out. You know, we might watch loads of Netflix or loads of eat food or, you know, so it's that's why our organism's way of managing, soothing, working with these painful experiences. So I'm just going to put these two. I'm going to put something in the chat here, just so. So we have the first. Let's call it a stoppage. Which gives rise to what we could call a small one. I haven't found an adequate term for it, but because that's so painful, the next piece that comes is the safety guardians. So we've already got this dynamic. Hi, yeah.
I'm
Ruth.
really sorry. I'm just getting over COVID and I'm a little
Oh, yeah,
spacey.
of course. No
So
worries.
what does Gene call a safety guardian? What's the,
I don't know what he would.
or what does Anne call it? If
Oh, she
anybody
calls
else.
it a, she calls it a protector. As far as I remember, no, she calls it a protector. They have, she has defenders and protectors, and I find the language confusing. That's why I don't
Yeah,
use
I
it.
also do.
But yeah,
Thank
its
you.
job is to manage and soothe the pain of that.
Okay, thank
Stoppage, yeah.
you. Thank
But
you.
I
Sorry
don't
about
know
that.
what. Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah,
Thanks a lot.
that's okay. So yeah, but that of course it causes its own trouble, doesn't it? You know, those parts of us that try and soothe and manage a situation, it sort of might bring some relief and some difference in a way. I celebrate those parts of us do that, but like I said, it doesn't really resolve the pain of stoppage. It doesn't really let that river flow again, and it causes its own other problems. Like if it's an addictive problem, it will bring other problems itself. And because it doesn't work, we get a third kind of part, which we could call critics. Or I'm going to call I'm going to, in other words, like these are the managers in IFS. These are the parts of us that are constantly on our back. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be doing that. Oh my God, it's so terrible. You're eating crisps again, and you're watching videos again, and you're texting your ex again, or whatever it is. Like they've it's criticizing, judging, trying to, again, in a way, trying to manage the situation with even less resources. These are, anyone who's a parent here will know what I mean. If you're a parent trying to manage a child, sometimes you resort to just telling and shouting, and or even if you've been a child and you've had this, of course, like it's the way in which people with very little agency, or parts of us with very little agency, try and manage situations through criticism, judgment, shaming. None of that works, of course, really. Brings its own pain, but doesn't really work in the sense of resolving the original trouble. But mostly, it's kind of critical and judgmental and controlling behaviors that happen inside of us. So you can see how we get tangled. At the beginning, in the writing here, is this like kind of piece of pain, let's say, or piece of, not always pain, but something that's unresolved. And then, yeah, all of this, all of that noise around it, all of that, the cyclical behavior, the blockages, the criticism, the judgments, all of that is a kind of response and a way of trying to managing this process. These managers also like backseat drivers, if you know that term. Yeah. People in the back of the car, they can't drive, but they make a lot of noise about how things are being driven. Very, very painful to have them there sometimes. So yeah, this is a kind of, I'm giving you very quickly the origins of a tangle, how a tangle forms and why it's there. I found it super useful to get a sense of, even if I didn't understand it, to get a feeling of, oh, okay, no wonder, like no wonder it's so complex, no wonder there's this kind of system of parts inside of us trying to manage, what often, yeah, overwhelming feelings, unbearable feelings. So I want to pause there and just check if there's any questions or wonderings about what I've said so far. Because it kind of, I'm, we dived quite deeply into the theory straight away, but I wanted to give you that. Any questions or wonderings? Yeah. I wonder if I can give an example. I think unacknowledged grief is a good example. So sometimes, very often, grief isn't very easily welcomed in our family and life, or maybe the person who's died wasn't so popular in our family or something, But grief is a very natural experience of loss. It doesn't matter why we feel it or how we feel it. But if it's not allowed to be felt, it's a bit like that river, that river of experience in a child or a person that is just what just wants, all it does is wants to be felt, just wants to be heard, the sadness, the grief, the sorrow, just want, but if it can't be, it gets kind of, like I say, like in that river gets blocked. It can't flow, it can't be, can't move. Grief is especially like this because it really needs to move, that's its nature. And so that grief gets kind of buried and protected around as an organism and as a person. And later in life, something, I don't know if you've ever had this. Sometimes you find yourself on, like feeling deep grief. It's something you don't know why. You watch a film or you're reading a book or someone mentions something and it touches that same that place. Like, whoa. And, but it's not always easy for it to flow. We might have parts that say, oh no, don't be so stupid. You should be over that by now. Or that's ridiculous. Why are you feeling so sad about that? Or criticism and judgments around it, you know, but all it really needs, in a way, in fact, this whole process, all that organism needs is or needed was just a welcoming, a safe welcoming. And so it's funny, something so simple can be missing that can cause such a lot of chaos later on if it's not welcomed. So yeah, that's another way of looking at this, a kind of welcoming of experience. And of course, particularly children get a real deal with this, sadly, because yeah, not all families have their own troubles and all of that. The bigger system is complex, and yeah, our feelings can't be easily welcomed. Our experiences of life can't be welcomed. So that's a little bit of theory, a background to this how a tangle forms. I want to say a few things about how we might. Three things I want to show about how we can find freedom from this process or begin to. Now, you know, this is not a one moment solution. I'm not going to give you something that you can, well, you never know. It might, for you, it might untangle it all in a moment. But normally, this is like an ongoing piece of work you have to do in your life in all sorts of different ways. But I want to share three things that I found useful, three pieces of this approach. And then we're going to have an exercise, a lead exercise, exploring one piece of this. But the first skill, should I call it a skill? Yeah, let's call it a skill, is I don't like the language here. I'm going to putting in the chat. Like the first skill would be like disidentifying, or in IFS they call it unmerging from all parts. Disidentifying. I mean, you could have just called it being with. Another one, perhaps a better way of putting it, is being with all parts of us. So this is learning that none of these parts of this tangle are all of you. You have there is a, it's a it's a it's a constellation of parts, and you can be with any part of you. You can be with that part of you that's in pain. You can be with that part of you that's trying to protect the pain. Or be with that part of you that's binge eating or whatever. Be with that part of you that's criticizing you for doing that. Because the trouble is, as soon as we're identified with any part of us, as soon as it feels like us, we can't really step into the next stage, which is giving it empathy and understanding and listening to that part. So this first stage is a movement from feeling like it is all of me to a part of me. Then if you're feeling, if you've done any almost any bit of focusing, you will know this step. So rather than I feel angry, oh, something in me feels angry. Rather than I feel scared, something in me feels scared. And that's one way of languaging it, that the language isn't so important, but the movement is the movement of like, oh, okay. I'm triggered. Oh, I'm triggered. Something in me feels triggered. Then we can give a bit, get a bit of space from it. Now that process can take a long time with some parts or some processes, but anyway, I think it's essential in the end to come into some sort of empathic relationship with all of us. We need to have this sort of, yeah, unmerging. I'm going to call it. Does that make sense so far? Lots of different ways of doing it, and lots of things, lots of practices support it, you know, and you know, bodywork practices, grounding oneself in nature, creative practices, you know. I mean, in a way, it's not just like one thing, it's like lots of things can come together to support this process of unmerging in parts of us. And I want to say it's not wrong to be merged, you know, I get triggered all the time still. So it's not like, oh my God, I should never be. A spiritual person never gets triggered or something. It's a sad, but it's that moment of recognizing and then taking a step back. So if there's a question here, great. So are we supposed to be with shame from that critique part? I'm not sure I understand the question. Do you mean, say we feel shame? How do we be with that? Is that the question?
Yeah, it's if the You were talking about like the manager part,
Yeah.
like the critique, the shaming, the judgment. And so my question is, I suppose, to disidentify with something, to not become identified with, how, you said we can be with grief. So if the critique part of us is being shaming or
Yeah.
judgment, how are we supposed to be with that? Because that's not meant to be a positive thing to be, I suppose.
Well, yeah, we'd be with all of it. So, yeah, like say we've got some part of us judging us for feeling sad again or shaming us, Then yeah, then we'll need to then we may not be able to be with the sadness anymore. Then we have to be with that part of us that's doing the shaming and doing the criticizing. I mean, this is a powerful possibility of freedom in this, and I speak from experience. To be able to I have so many critics, and over the years, doing this practice, they've either disappeared completely or just quietened down massively, because of this, in a way, because again and again, this process of being with, oh, something in me is judging me, something in me is judging me. It's criticizing me for feeling sad or criticizing me for feeling vulnerable. Can I be with that? Can I be with that part of me that's judging, that's criticizing? There's a whole process we do. We'll do this on the course, and other people who do this work too. Anne and Barbara would do the same. Like you be with that part of you that's criticizing and judging, and listen to what it's worried about, because ultimately they're worried. They're trying to manage. They're trying to manage a situation. So yeah, anything that's criticizing and judging us is something we can be with, eventually at least. And this is really liberating, to kind of give ourselves this possibility. But it is a practice, of course. Does that make sense, Catherine?
Yes, it does make sense. Sorry, I was having problems with my internet connection, so I keep
Oh,
having to
no.
start with you. Yeah, that does make sense. So this is a bit like IFS, is it, this focusing then?
Yeah. In some way, there are definite connections. So there's some similarities, and there's some differences. But yeah, this is one piece that would be similar.
I see. That's great. Thank
Good,
you.
good, good. Thanks. Yeah.
And I believe too the IFS came from focusing. The person that developed it already knew focusing.
There we go. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and there's crossovers there, and I think the other way around as well. I think some of Anne's approach
And
later
also
on, yeah, takes
studied
it
IFS.
exactly. Yeah. IFS is internal family systems, Richard Swartz. Because what a tangle is, a tangle is a kind of system. It's a system of parts trying to manage a situation inside of us. Yeah, internal. I
You
don't know.
recommend a book on this because I find IFS parts a bit confusing, or the different. Is there a simpler way without having to be bogged down with all of these, like the, all these different
Sure.
parts? Because then it gets really.
Yeah. I mean, this is the trouble with this whole model. Even this model I do, we can become a bit lost in the theory. The theory becomes we put the theory on top of our experience, and that's not how it's supposed to be. The theory supports our embodied journey, really. So that's not answering your question. I'm just digressing from it. But yeah, so that's any theory is a theory, really. Like what's most important is being with your body, being with your actual experience, and what's it like in there? What are you feeling right now? What's true? Yeah.
Peter, if I could say something,
Sure, yeah.
if this is okay, I highly recommend Peter. I haven't I think he's great, and I've been focusing for a very, very long time and studied it and worked with a lot of people, and I think it's what works best for you, Catherine, and some of us like me, like I when I learned from Anne, she was just starting to develop this process that then be it became treasure maps, and then it became tangles, and it's all this. And for me, it was way too complicated. But for some people, they love it, and it helps them. So For me, it didn't work. And I love the simple approach that we have all these different parts, but like what the way Peter sets them out can give us a structure, because sometimes we don't recognize, oh yeah, there's the shame place and there's the scared place and there's the place that says, oh my God, it hurts so bad, there's no way I want to let it come out. And so sometimes the structure can help us find it, but if the structure and all those names gets in the way, then just leave them to the side and just open your heart and be with what's there. So that's, for me, this is 30 years of teaching and experiencing of it, and I'm not wanting to get in the way, but I think sometimes it's helpful to have a little bit of, I know that I've seen a lot, so I just want to give it back to Peter, but I come to his things, even though I've been doing this for so long, because I really respect him and what he's doing. And so not to
That's
step on you, Peter, but
no, it's great. I appreciate what you really appreciate what you're saying. And
anytime, anytime, I'm here.
my first Treasure Map retreat, which was back in 2000 and I don't know, it was 2006. I couldn't, I can't, all this, the models and I mean, it was so complicated. I couldn't do any of it. Like, but the essential message really was one of empathic connection with what's happening inside of you, and that
And I'll add one
works.
word: empathic connection and respect.
Yeah,
It's that
exactly.
real respect and curiosity and kindness with what's there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
And the possibility of doing that really with it, with any part of us, I suppose, this is where I want to lead us into is with, yeah, with parts of us that are judging us and shaming us. I mean, shame is so hard to be with. Like, why would you think that would be useful? Like, we just want to run away. I want to run away from shame. It's such a painful
Because
experience.
it's another place that
Exactly.
hurts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. But we can learn to be with it in this way of just of unmerging, I suppose, and yeah, to give empathy to those parts of us that are trying to help, that are trying to manage, or even through their critical and judging voices underneath, they're trying to help, or to give empathy to those parts of us that are going to the fridge and eating food that we know is not good for us, but we want because we want to feel good, to give empathy to the part of us that's giving us a hard time about going to the fridge, So, yeah, I found it very deeply compassionate, this approach, and liberating. So, yeah, there's one more piece I wanted to say before our exercise, which was, so yeah, going back to my three pieces, yeah, disidentifying and merging. We mentioned we've gone into B already, empathy. Where's it going? My type isn't working. So not just, we're not just disidentifying or being with, we're giving it empathy, giving parts of us empathy. So that's really important. So not just noticing, oh, I'm noticing a part of me that's doing this. We really get into a relationship with any part of us, and that, again, that process takes time. It's something that can happen over months or years even. We learn to come into this empathic relationship with a part of us that's eating or whatever it is. Third piece. Well, from all of that empathy and all of that space, in a way, a kind of safety is created from which a deeper wisdom emerges, really. So, I couldn't even put this into words, but it's like sensing the deeper wisdom. This is when it gets really interesting. I think it's interesting anyway, but like when we create a lot of safety inside of us, that deeper wisdom of what our body needed originally, of what that stoppage is, of what it wanted, of what it needed, comes into it, gets heard. And it's a very profound shift can happen at that moment. It's like something that's been locked up for years comes into aware, like kind of come out into the body. And it's real wisdom in that process and healing and insight. So, but none of that can happen if the system is all tangled of critics and judges and shaming. Like that's why we do all that work, if you like, which is so liberating in itself. And then we get this third magical piece of something, the deeper wisdom coming through, a deeper truth.
Do you think it's the judging and the shaming that creates the tangles in the first place?
No, those are definitely a response to something more deeper. That's my experience. They are the ways of, I mean, they create pain themselves, no doubt. They create a lot, and it can feed back. That's why it's tangled. It kind of feeds back into the pain. But my sense is the origin of it is some, not that. The origin is some, well, what I call stopped process, what Jenden calls stopped process, some kind of blockage, some kind of pain that has not yet been felt. I say pain, even calling it pain is perhaps a bit too defined, but some kind of experience that hasn't been met. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, yes. Wait and see. But it's clear that critics and judges cause a lot of pain too. That much is very clear. Do you think some parts are so difficult to get in touch with because they've given up hope of ever being? Yeah. Certainly. And they're going to take a lot of time. And anyway, it's weird, you know, you can even be with a part of you. It's like, you'll never listen to me. It'll never get better. Or like really deep despair. Like we can be with that place from a sense of empathy and really hear it. You know, I'm just giving an example of my son. You know, he might be, he's 12, but so still a small person. And there are times like, I'm never going to do that again. I hate it. I'm never going to, like, and if I start arguing with him, I go, oh, well, you know, it's going to be all right, or da da da. And the most useful thing is just being with him in his despair. Like, yeah, okay, that's what it's like. I don't say it, actually, I just be it. I just embody a sense of, yeah, I'm with you. It's that bad. You've given up all hope of possible change. And that is transformative. It's radical and weird and a bit surprising, but it works. So you can be with parts of you that are just thinking it will never change. You know, despair is very much part of what I call like a matrix of trauma. You know, like one of those things, like some parts is they've given up. That's what we do. That's physiologically, that's what happens when we meet blockage in a way. Despair is part of the territory. So being with it without expecting it to change, strangely liberating. You can be with it and not have it change, and it changes. This paradox, you know. Great. We have a room for one more question, and I want to do just a bit of an exercise around being with all parts of us. But yeah, any other questions about what we've touched on? Let's do an exercise. So rather than just talking about it, I thought we'd try an exercise. And this is a guided exploration of just being with all parts of you that might be here right now. So we're not going to think about a topic unless one is alive in you right now, or sort of even take one part to explore. But I just want to try and guide us into a bit of a process of just how is it to be with all parts of you that are here. And you may not even have a lot of parts right now. That's okay. But I think the spirit of radical acceptance, I think, is really what this exercise is about. Of allowing, even if it's just for a moment, ourselves to be all here. So it'll take about 8 to 10 minutes guided process. You can have your eyes closed, you can have your eyes open, you can move about, turn on video, turn off video, I don't mind. Well, I'm going to be giving instructions. Now, if those instructions don't fit for you, just let them go. If I make a suggestion, you're like, well, I don't want to do that, that's all right. I'm not an expert on your process. You just do your own thing. So really take my invitations and my processes in that spirit. It's invitational. And then we'll just have a little bit of a conversation about that, and then we'll take it from there. So yeah, get yourself ready. Comfortable. And we're not trying to make anything happen. It's so hard, isn't it, that parallel? We want things to change, of course. We But at the same time, we're just really approaching with the spirit of curiosity and noticing right now. So yeah, take a moment just to let your awareness settle into your body as it is now, in the space you're in. So maybe noticing that space around you, the sounds, where you're sitting in it or lying in it, standing, whatever you're doing. And feel the support or the contact with whatever's supporting you, the floor and the chair or wherever your body is supported, and it will be, just letting it rest there, really letting it be held. Maybe noticing the breath as it is within all that. And how that connects to the rest of the middle of the body, the chest, the belly, throat, and sense that whole middle area, but also the rest of it, just beginning, yeah, to just feel that sense of being inside your body a bit, or noticing it. In some way, whatever way you feel that. And it's okay if you can't right now. Just notice how you are in your posture, maybe. That's enough. So remembering this quality of curiosity that I've mentioned as we go further. So you might be, as you notice inside, it feels all okay right now. Maybe it feels good. Maybe there's a sense of, oh, it feels nice inside right now, calm or easy. And if that's how it is, then great, just noticing that. But maybe there's something else happening. Maybe there are parts of you that aren't so okay right now. It could be physically, like in the body, tension or tightness, discomfort or pain, and in which case acknowledge that, like hello. Like you might say hello, or I notice you, or without words, just acknowledging there's that place that feels pain physically. Or you might even try it like this, like if there's a tightness, you might say something in me. I'm noticing something in me that feels tight right now. See if that brings a difference. Rather than saying I feel tight, something in me feels tight. Or it could be something else, like anxious or vigilant or apprehensive. Maybe there's something coming up in the future that you're worried about. Ah, something in me is worried about that. So if there's anything in you that's worried or apprehensive or in some kind of pain or trouble, acknowledging, hello. Hello to that place that's anxious and in pain. You keeping it company with your awareness. Or maybe if it's in a place in your body, you could put your hand there where you sense it. Oh, I know you're there. If that felt right, you could do that. And maybe you're noticing there's lots of thoughts or planning or just judging or criticizing, or maybe it's more like that's what you're noticing, not in your body, but in the realm of thought and mind. And but you can also be with that. It's acknowledging, oh, hello. Hello to that part of me that's really thinking it through, really judging this or criticizing. Hello to something in me that's doing that. I have a place in me that's always trying to work things out. Oh, hello to that part of me that's always trying to work things out. So you can be with that too. Or maybe there's something that's struggling just to be present, to notice anything, and it wants to just go off and do something different. It's hard to be here, so let's have some empathy for that too. Something in you that just may not even want to do any of this. Always doing that is taking you off into spaciness or something like that. So it could be a part of you too. So all of that is welcome. All of you is welcome right now. Or something to notice and acknowledge. Even if it's parts pushing feelings away, they're welcome too. So you can be the space in which all these parts are there. Your body, your awareness can be a bigger space to sort of hold all these different parts of you that might be present right now. So I'll just leave it just another minute quiet. Okay. So, in your own time, gently bringing that to a close. Looking around, if your eyes have been closed, moving a little. Okay. So let's just take just a few minutes. If anyone wants to share what they noticed doing that or something or a question about that, that was just a kind of compilation or something of a kind of guided process that we might do on the courses I do and the kind of big expansive welcoming. But you can apply that to just working with one part of you, or hoping the spirit of it came through. Any questions? Or fell straight asleep? Great. Maybe your body needed to rest. Definitely happened to me.
I felt a lot of anxiety, and it was because when you were talking earlier about tangles, I was thinking of my most difficult tangle, and which I was not going to sort of deal with this morning at all.
Sure.
I thought, no, I'm not going to go there. But then I thought, what about if we do a pairs exercise? Maybe I really should, you know, deal with this difficult tangle. And just the thought of it, which I hadn't really I hadn't really formulated exactly. I didn't really know what I was planning exactly. But when we just did that exercise, you know, I just found that this huge anxiety was there, which was all because I was worried about having to share this difficult tangle with another person.
Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I'm honest. Noticing that is the first step, isn't it? You notice that something was anxious about what you thought would happen. And well, I'm just curious, were you able to be with that, or was that like?
I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is why I find I can never really deal successfully with my tangle, because I just get this overwhelming anxiety when I try to face it.
Yeah. I know, I can really relate to what you're saying, you know, and there's I guess where we start is where what's true, and that true is something's really anxious about what might happen in this process. And that might need a lot of listening. It did with me, you know. It still happens. I was at a festival recently, and there were these workshops going on, and I was signing up for, and anything that's a bit new, you know, it activates that part of me that gets very anxious about what will happen. They're going to make me do something. It's going to be terrible. I'm going to reveal all this stuff I don't want to, and all this anxiety starts to kind of pile up. So be with it. I'll be with that part of me that gets very anxious about what will happen. And what I've discovered is it's never. This is me, you know. I don't. But like those anxieties have never become true. I mean, something else difficult might happen, but never the one that what this one's worried about. Challenging processes bring anxiety without a doubt, and then we be with that. And sometimes, yeah, that's a really healing place to be, I think, with that part of us that's anxious about what will happen. So we're not even going there. Just the thought of going there brings us back. Just looking at a comment here. Always interesting to see where body, different parts, emotions are sitting. Yeah, that's right. We have this unique map inside of us of where parts kind of sit. But you know, sometimes that there's a whole lot I could say about that. But you noticing in your body is the most important bit, rather than someone else's map. I noticed that the painful parts of me receded when I acknowledge them. Great. When I say painful, I mean physically painful. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It works with physical pain sometimes. We're just that moment, oh, here it is. Hello, you know. It doesn't have to be emotional pain. Thanks. And there's images and sensations coming from last night's dreams. Yeah, which made it's not going to make sense. Wow. There's messages about what's alive inside of me at the moment. What wonderful. Yeah. Dreams are an amazing kind of doorway, you know, where our body speaks to us through stories and symbols. And very, very a lot of crossover with focusing. In fact, I want to say a little bit more about focusing. What can I say? Yeah. Is anyone here new to focusing? 1, 2, couple people. Yeah, great. So focusing is a practice of listening to what the body knows. Comes out of philosophy and therapy many decades ago. It's a practice you can do in a pair, a practice you can do on your own, and not even a practice. I call it a way of living. It's a way of living, a way of being in, of knowing, of listening to how you are inside. But yeah, it works beautifully in paired practice. It's kind of dyad practice, and you can do it on your own. And it could be mixed with therapy, and it could be mixed with some other practices. You know, it's crops up in all sorts of other disciplines. many approaches to focusing. Like I said at the beginning, you could use it to help you even think more clearly. You could use it to help you navigate decisions. It's all, in fact, it's something you already have in your life. This isn't something you don't have. You have a way of checking in with yourself and going, yeah, what would feel right? Or what doesn't feel right? Knowing that place is focusing. The word focusing doesn't really describe the practice very well, but anyway, so that, and you can, and some people are more familiar with it intuitively than others, but you can learn it on courses, you can do one-to-one work, you could read a book even and get something from that. You know, it's probably best learned in person or online or something, but yeah, even reading resources, and I'll send some links to this on after the seminar. Yeah, so focusing really forms the core of this course that I'm going to be starting in. I think it's the 13th of September. So I've been on holiday for 3 weeks and all my dates are completely gone. When did we start? Yeah, 13th of September. This Untangling the Knots course. So this is a 12-week course, really diving into the material we looked at today. So each week we'd look at one part and then we'd look at the different patterns around it and how to be with it. And the different tools we bring to bear, empathy and resourcing. You know, how can we really resource ourselves to go towards these tangles, what the tangle's made up of, how we be with each of those parts. So it's this course is a real deep dive into this material. We're the same group for the same time, 12 weeks. So that's Wednesday mornings, 13th of September. I've only got a couple of places left, so that just will say that. I mean, that's more of a deep dive course. If you want something a little bit more introductory or kind of a step before that, there's another course I'm doing, which I've set up called Radical Acceptance, which I'm really looking forward to because it's my favorite topic. 21st of September. So that's just 4 weeks. You don't have to know focusing to show up to that course. The other course you do have to know, paired practice, but Radical Acceptance is open to everyone. And it's like £40 or £60. It's just 4 weeks, two guided explorations a week. Questions and answers, and maybe a little bit of paired discussion or in small groups, really diving into this topic of radical acceptance. Can we really radically accept all of who we are? You know, can we, is that possible?
When is that one?
That one is the 20, let me just remind my 21st, 4 Thursday mornings. So 10:30 to 12:30. So again, I'll send you a link out to that. Course. I like creating these kind of fairly open access courses that anyone can do and that you don't have to know focusing to show up for. But yeah, if you are interested, let me know. After this, you can message me, but I'll be sending you details anyway. If you've registered for the seminar, which means you're here anyway, you'll get these details sent to you later today or tomorrow morning. That's our time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I wish we had longer, really, but a little dip into this world of untangling and focusing. If it's new to you, please have a dig around. It's an amazing world. And good luck, and see you around. Bye for now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.